Welcome to Staying Relevant, the podcast between two best friends on their quest for superstardom and fame. This is The One.
Explicit note, there's going to be swearing, I'm drinking. If you don't like it, go yourself.
I hate it when you say that we're on a quest for superstardom and fame, because we're not.
We are, that's exactly...
No, we're not. All we're trying to do is stay somewhat relevant. You're on a quest for superstardom. I'm on a quest to earn some money before I die.
And I will drag Pete kicking and screaming with me to that quest for fame. Now, today's the big one because we have a guest.
We have a guest.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, no more?
We have it. Yeah, come on, you say it.
What, who the guest is?
Yeah, I'm really nervous. This is a big one.
You have been really nervous about this one.
Yeah, because I'm a big fan.
You are a massive fan, yeah. Actually.
I slid into her DMs.
So it's actually a double header today. We're double ending.
We are not double ending. We have two guests. Leave it at that.
We've had two guests.
Yeah, so basically the reason we've got, before we tell you who the guest is, the reason we have this guest is because Sam creepily slid in her DMs to ask her if she'd be on the podcast. And to be honest, I'm quite surprised she said yes.
Why? We're fucking stars. We're podcast legends. I actually was driving a couple of days ago and someone went, "Hey, mate, I listened to your podcast." And I was like, "Yes."
So this week's guest is sports broadcaster and general fucking legend, Laura Woods.
Laura Woods, baby! Huge fan, Talk Sport, done Sky Sports as well, and really, really at the top of her game. Beautiful lady as well.
Oh, all right.
Well, not like that, as in just like,
well,
really.
In what way did you mean it?
Well, don't start being like that.
No, just, I'm just saying. I mean,
no, was, don't, because now I'm getting nervous.
Well, it's just a little bit chauvinistic.
Laura Woods, everybody! Laura, how are you today?
She's not here.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know whether we were faking it.
Oh, what, a whole interview?
No, it's in like the start.
Yeah, no, I'm really good, you.
Yeah, the start of the interview.
Oh, thanks.
Come on, Laura!
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Don't know why the whole room's clapping. That's never happened.
Thanks. That's so nice.
Never clap us. That's so fucking out of order, all of you. I want to clap every week now. Crack on then, Sam. Right. Sam's super excited about this.
I'm going to be honest with you, Laura. I was a bit nervous. I said to Pete on the way up here, I was like, I'm a bit nervous for this one.
Why?
My voice is going a little bit as well, actually.
I'm
a big, big fan of yours.
I've just learned it.
I'm a huge fan. I've got my football top on as well. Yeah. So Laura works on TalkSport amongst many other things, and I listen to you every day in my kitchen. Big fan. I love watching where you're going and how you're doing it, and you're basically, you do the job that I absolutely wish I had, by the way.
Really?
So Sam does this on the sly. He's got a separate Instagram account where he does his football blog.
No.
Sam T Footy. And he discusses Chelsea regularly as a season ticket holder. There's three or four people that follow and listen to him.
I'm going to follow it.
Yes!
Oh,
I need to stop posting
it.
On it more than shit.
Do you know what I have to say, which is really making me laugh, is I feel like Sam has, what would a football fan look like in Sam's head? And he's gone, right, well, definitely would wear a football shirt. He'd have a beer in his hand.
Yeah.
He'd definitely have a chain on and a hat and some high tops. Let's do that.
That's literally what
he's done.
I'm going to be honest with you, I feel like part of the lads. We're going, mate. Let's have it.
Slightly offensive.
Let's
though,
have it.
Evidently, she's not a lad.
Yeah, but where's your football top?
I'm not wearing a football top because I'm not a fucking idiot.
We've got a beer, though.
You're a Spurs fan. We do. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Thanks for having me on.
So the reason that you're actually here, though, is because Sam slid in your DMs.
Yeah, he did. Do you know, can I tell you something funny? Mm-hmm. I actually followed you ages ago, and then I unfollowed you.
Me?
Most people do that. I've actually muted him.
Really? Yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was. You were like flogging a microwave or something. And I was like, I've had enough of this. And I unfollowed you. And then
it's too good. I bet I know what
I'm
it was
so
as
sorry.
Well.
And then you followed me and I was like, oh, go on then. Let's give him another go. Yeah, let's give him another go. He's Pete's mate. We'll give him another go.
See, that's the real reason.
That's how it goes. Actually, you know what, Laura? We were outside just now and we were sort of psyching ourselves up for this interview. Psyching ourselves outside.
Sam was in the mirror saying that he was a strong, independent man.
Like, we've got this. We have this. And as we're outside, a truck comes past and a guy leans out and goes, Pete Wicks, I fucking love you. And he turns around and goes, Not sure about your mate, though.
No, really.
He's a bit of a prick.
Oh, bless you. But you're such an unlikely couple. That's what I love about it.
We are not a couple. I just want to put that out
there. Well, it looks like it. You couldn't get closer right now. Okay. You're so squeezed.
I couldn't be further away from Sam.
You're moist as well. You're sweating quite a lot.
Oh, my God. Very,
I've got one wearing knitwear.
Yeah, it is hot, yeah.
He looks like a Boy Scout today, doesn't he?
I do like the neckerchief. It's very cute. I appreciate it.
I like that.
And the way you jangle when you move.
Yeah, thank you. Like a jailer.
We wouldn't lose you.
No, you wouldn't. It's like a cat with a bell around its neck.
Where's Pete?
Yeah, exactly. So look, we're gonna start. We're not gonna do what we normally do, which is the whole staying relevant caper, because I don't think you really need that. You're evidently quite relevant.
Oh, that's very
at the
nice
minute. Thing. You are probably the UK's most loved sports broadcaster.
Yeah. I reckon.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. For a number of reasons.
Oh.
Why do you think that is?
Oh.
Do you think it's because you don't look like Ally McCoist?
Hey, Ally McCoist, by the way. Back in his day, I just did a by the way. Back in the day, my God, did you see him? Have you seen him?
Yeah.
He's a good looking man.
I caught Ali in the wrong decade.
Really? No, you caught him in the right decade. Do you know why?
Century.
Because he's now like the dad that everyone loves.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
And every time, I have to explain it, he's not on Twitter. Every time he picks up a microphone for any game on whatever channel, he trends number one. And I always explain it and he goes, oh, that's great. What does that mean? And
I'm like, yeah, like you.
It's like that great. Is
yeah, you've become like quite an iconic duo, really, haven't you? Mm. Everyone loves you both.
I think that if I really look at why I'm doing all right, I think it's probably
very humble
because
smashing the fucking life out of it.
I would be sitting there if I were you, but not, I'm killing it.
Sam does that and he's not.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've got to build yourself up, haven't you?
Absolutely.
If you believe it, everyone else believes it.
So carry on.
No one believes it.
Fake it till you make it. I genuinely think TalkSport, like you might find this a podcast, you know, when you just get time to like talk and breathe,
yeah,
and then being yourself comes really natural. And then I think people listen and they like to get to know you and they feel like they do know you. And that's the best way. I honestly think that. Like with TV, it's really hard because you get like 3-minute segments.
Yeah.
And when you're presenting or reporting, you can't really have an opinion or much of a personality. Whereas radio is like, go on, say what you want. And it's great.
Did you get put together by someone else? How did that?
So when I got the job on TalkSport, I was literally doing these 30-minute sections, reviewing the newspapers for £30. I remember my agent sent
quid.
Yeah, my agent sent
what,
it through.
A minute?
No, like it was about 5 or 6 years ago. That's my agent cool. sent it through because I was like, I really want to get on TalkSport. I just love it. And I was obsessed with Alan Brazil, not in like a creepy way or anything like that, but I was obsessed with him. And I was like, I've just got like any chance. And they basically got me a demo and I went on. And what you do is you pick up a newspaper, you regurgitate the information in a bite-sized form on the radio. I go, this is what the papers are saying, blah, blah, blah. And I did my demo, it went really well, and they brought me in. And they sent my message from my agent was like, it's £30. And I went, do you mean 300? And he was like, no, I mean 30. And I went, don't worry about it. I was like, and he went, I won't take commission. I was like, oh, why?
That's nice.
Would you want
yeah,
to?
Thanks for that,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, if someone's taking 20% off £30, you're left with £24.
But I think I was on the end of that era of like newspaper reviews where it was £30. But I didn't care. I would have done it for free. I was so happy to be there. And then Ali and Alan was like the best duo to work with.
Yeah.
Because they're just amazing, aren't they? And then I remember the day that I got offered the job. Everyone would obviously be like, the breakfast show is the best show and it's exciting and everything. And I knew what it was going to do. I knew it was going to become like big and I was going to get a lot of focus for it. But I was really upset because I was like, I won't get to work with Alan. So Alan normally does Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which means we're now on opposite shifts. And it was so weird to me. It was like, it was so bittersweet. I thought, great, I'm going to take it. And I remember when I took the job and day one of it was lockdown. So there was no sport to talk about. Oh. So like, I couldn't have, honestly,
it's
it couldn't have been
day.
So how did you feel
harder.
In gaps in?
Quizzes. Honestly, we joke about it. Yes. We had fucking quizzes about quizzes. We talked absolute bollocks, but it was fun. And I think the thing is like people were all at home. So actually they just wanted something to listen to.
Yeah.
But it was hard. It was like Sunday, and it's a 4-hour show. So you're up at 6 and your guests aren't with you because of COVID. So they, like one was in Scotland, Freddie Flintoff was in Manchester. There was a delay. So you know, like,
oh,
you know, like when you think you've made a great joke and then you wait for someone to laugh and there's nothing, and then you overcompensate by like laughing at your own joke, and it's just, it was so dire. Like, yeah.
Sam's got a fake laugh.
Oh, fuck off. No, I don't.
What is it? Go on, do it.
Do it, do it. Do the fake laugh. So when Sam makes a joke and it doesn't quite hit, you know, one of them things, like, and actually it happened the other week. So you're out somewhere and Sam quietens a table around him because he thinks he's got this fucking banger, right? And then he says the joke and it doesn't quite hit. So he laughs for everyone. Do the fake laugh.
I've got, I don't know, my laugh's like,
oh my God.
He literally does that, and then everyone sort of goes,
this happened once when we were just away in Austria. I know what we're fucking talking about. I know what he's doing. We were out on a table, we were out with a client, right?
A client? Like, wow.
Yeah, I was just about to say, we were out of a beer brand.
We were out of a beer brand. Nice. And I don't know, 10 people around the table, and I thought I had something funny to say. So I hushed the table. I had the table as well. You know when you have a table and you're like this?
Because you repeatedly asked for the table.
Yeah, because I knew I had something good to say.
I need
say.
The table.
Yeah.
And then the pressure's on, you're like,
then you panic. And that's exactly what happened. I full-blown panic. Then Pete makes it so much fucking worse. And then Pete went, you've lost the table. And then at that
and then
point,
just carried on a conversation.
You can't fucking regain it once you've lost it like that.
So when you started TalkSport then, had you, because didn't you start doing darts?
Yeah.
Are you a darts fan?
Yeah.
I can't spake.
How good is that? That's like one of the best.
So good.
I fucking love darts.
Do you really?
Yeah, I
have
really
you ever been
do.
To Ali Pali?
Yeah, I've been a couple of times. And it's the fucking, no, I didn't dress up. I normally look like I'm in fancy dress anyway.
I was going to say a pirate.
But yeah, it's, I love, have you ever been Ali Pali?
No, it's another thing that I just like.
So good.
Shall we all go?
It would be fucking sick.
Honestly, in December.
Is it still good though?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Why? What do you think?
Well, because I feel like it used to be really, really fucking good, and now it's a bit more tame, isn't it?
COVID killed it a little
bit. Yeah. Why?
It's all coming back up because like you couldn't have any fans.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So that was a bit difficult.
Should have known
that. But it did. It got like, I'm not working on it anymore, so I can actually go and have a good time. So we should go.
Yeah.
Should we like?
The thing is, Laura, you can't say things
you're not
going to stick to, though.
No, I mean it. Like, I genuinely say what I mean. Let's do it.
She 100% doesn't.
But we have to dress up. We have to all dress
up. I would.
Well,
what
are us three going to dress up as?
Traffic cones
or SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, I've got the right skin colour for that. I look like a mouldy bit of broccoli from the neck down.
You look like leather.
Yeah. He came up to you.
Thank you. Wow.
Did you say an old bit of leather?
Yeah, she literally went in. I look like a Chesterfield sofa. Fuck me. It's the fucking last time we invite a fucking guest on. I'm getting dug out here.
I nearly sat on you when I came in. Sorry.
That, fuck me, is brilliant. Hey, you got to get in line. Carol Vorderman's first.
Vorders. Oh, she's great, isn't she?
Well, there's potential romance brewing.
Is there?
We'll discuss that another time.
It's quite a big deal, actually.
It's quite a big deal. Yeah. Could be one of her special friends.
Oh my God, I love it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Pete and Carol stepping out.
God, Pete and Carol, that sounds like...
oldest couple you've ever... That's like Ruth and fucking...
Eamon.
On the sofa with Pete
with Pete and Carol.
Carl,
that would be fucking... That would be...
That's the kind of thing where you're getting annoyed that someone's tree is growing over the fence. And you make a complaint to the council. I was fucking Pete and Carol again.
Intruding on my party.
The worst next door neighbours. All right, well, let's do that. Can you play darts?
I've tried a lot. I'm really bad. But it's fun, though. When you have a couple, you get better.
Yeah, really good. But there's a really good place in London, actually, called Flight Club, that you should go to.
Should we do that first? That can be like the tester.
The tester. We'll dip a water in. Sometimes people get weird when Pete's around. He's actually not that fun. But, like, you've got to dip your toe in, decide whether you want
to
hang with
you
it.
You don't have to dip your toe in. There's no need to put anything inside of it.
Hey, we're here for you. And do you know what? I've got a question that was like the first question I wanted to ask you when I used to always listen to you. When did you, because you've obviously known from a really young age that you wanted to be in sports broadcasting, right? Like, I feel like that's quite left field, isn't it? Like, when was the first time you knew? Because it was like super young, wasn't it?
I think like I really wanted to do Blue Peter. Look, his opinion of me changed immediately there. He was like, oh, you're not cool. Wow. I did want a badge, yeah. And I applied to be a press packer for Newsround. And I never got anything back. That was my first early rejection. But I was always sporty. I got brothers and stuff like that. And that was what I loved.
You used to play rugby, right? Huh?
I did, yeah.
Wait, what position?
Well, I reckon I know what it is.
Do you?
Yeah. And this is going to sound really bad, but did you used to be a hooker?
I was a hooker.
I was a hooker too! Hey. I was a fucking hooker. I was going to say it. I was a hooker.
I was a hooker from a young age.
Yeah, nice.
How many times you heard that joke? A million times?
Many.
Do you know what's interesting? So they always go for like the slightly more petite person to be a hooker.
Yeah.
Because you've got to latch yourself round and then you get your foot in, you bring it in.
Hook I used
it.
To play on the wing.
Did you?
You are the slowest person I've ever seen in my life.
Is that a joke?
No, you are so, you're flat-footed, mate.
Oh, no.
You're flat-footed.
But I'm fucking solid.
Yes. Yeah, that means you'd be a prop.
No, I was like Jonah Lomu, just really small.
Oh. Just tiny.
It's really
mini
tiny.
Jonah Lomu.
Yeah, like a really, really hairy, small Jonah Lomu. It's a little bit like that little dwarf from Lord of the Rings, just quite solid but quite
Gimli.
Close to the ground.
Oh, no, Gimli. He was very nice though, wasn't he?
Gimli. Gimli.
So you've always been, because your mum was a rugby coach, yeah?
Yeah, so she was our coach. So she basically took us all to the rugby club as a way of, like, we'd all, like, we basically moved into a new neighbourhood and she wanted to integrate us and she was on her own. So she was like, how do I keep all these kids together and, like, happy and concentrated? So she took us to the rugby club. It was amazing. It was the best thing she ever did for us.
So what would you say is your first love when it comes to sports? Is it football?
Yeah.
So have you played football?
Yeah, but not very well.
No?
Not to a very high standard at all. And what? I mean, not to any standard.
Well, some sort of standard. Do you play a bit Power League?
No.
What's Power League?
You won't take me. Get out of five aside and stuff.
How do you not play that fucking Power League? I imagine you and all your fucking mates playing, you know.
We play like six aside, five aside.
That's basically five or six aside is.
Oh, imagine the butler drops you all off.
Fuck off. No, see, we're not going to go with this. There's no butler.
Did you know when you were younger?
No, I didn't.
You really not?
Just no pair.
Oh my god.
So again, Arsenal fan, right? Mm. And I think you like that generation, so it's my generation, right? Mm. Arsenal were doing really well back then.
Yeah.
And so basically what you're saying is you're a glory supporter. Because yeah, they were
was
doing
it the
really, really well.
That fucking set you
yeah,
up,
they were doing really well and you went, I like a bit of them, I'm gonna support them. And then they did shit for ages and you're like, oh,
because
no.
Being from Dagenham, Romford, the fucking Narm, surely you should be West Ham.
I know I should be, but my whole family are Arsenal. That's where it comes from. So like, my granddad was North London, lived next door to Highbury, used to go all the time. So that's where it's built. My dad's a Geordie.
Really?
Yeah, he's a Geordie. So we kind of like, well, we were never Geordies. We were never even a little bit. But I have like a little bit of affection, especially now they've been bought and they're going to win things.
Oh, right. Yes, you're 100% just a Gloria. Like, yeah, great. Absolutely
like,
love
Arsenal,
it.
Arsenal, yeah. But we were so blessed when we were little. We met them when we were really young, like 98, 99, that kind of era when they did the double.
Yeah.
That was, we actually met them completely by accident. My dad went to a, he's playing cricket next to London Colney, which was their old training ground where Watford are now. And me and the boys, my big brothers, we were like walking around and this is honestly what happened. There was like a, what's it called? Just a load of bushes in a line. What's that called? Bushes in a row.
Hedge?
Yeah, that's the one.
One.
Wow. There was a hedge and we wandered through the hedge and Arsene Wenger was there and then the whole Arsenal thing was amazing.
So who is your all-time...
Ray Parlour.
You knew well.
Is that because he's on TalkSport?
No, because he's from Romford as well. I just loved him when I was younger, but I could list, honestly, I've got so many, and it depends what mood
I'm in. Romford pillow, isn't it?
Like, yeah, exactly. David Seaman. And we actually, like, not at the same time, but we lived on the same road. What is it? Dagenham East or something like that?
Yeah. We're near Collier Railway.
Long, yeah, like, so really
Pete
long.
Used to get nicked.
Oh, did you? Have you been arrested before?
Yeah, juvie That's, many a time.
We'll talk about that another time.
Really?
Yeah. We'll talk about that another time.
Is that why you wear the rings?
Yeah, just in case. No, it's actually just for chinning him.
Yeah, which he has done, to be fair. Do you know what I thought was really cool? And I imagine this is probably your inner fan coming out a little bit, is when we saw all the Arsenal players and they were just signing, not looking at the kids.
Yeah.
You called them out on Twitter and it went viral, mate.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Did
like
you?
On a personal thing, because you're a fan first and foremost, right? Mm. And there's so many sides to the story, right? Because it's literally just like, look,
yeah. They
probably do a million other things, right? And they're probably just, you know, it's just one of the many. They probably gave that mascot, you probably know more than I do, but they probably gave that mascot like loads of other attention somewhere else. But it's like, as a fan, I was a kid once, and I went to Stamford Bridge and I went and met all the players and stuff.
Did you?
And they came, all of them came up to me and they were like asking me how I was and stuff like that. And I remember it so well.
Daddy sort out a private session.
Daddy didn't sort out a private session, no. And I just, yeah, I was a mascot.
Well, you could probably pay for you to be part of the first.
I don't actually know how I got it, so maybe you did. But like, do you feel like it was the inner fan from you that was like, do you know what, that stings a little bit?
It's really difficult. TalkSport is, because I'm an Arsenal fan, everything you say about Arsenal clipped up, put on social media. Mm. And sometimes I'm like, please don't put it out because...
Does everyone accuse you of bias?
Yeah, and people who don't listen to the show and only see clips, they're like, oh, all she does is ever talk about Arsenal. And also, I don't really feel that qualified. I'm not a pundit. And all of a sudden, your words have all this weight. And I'm like, oh my God, like there's such a big responsibility. When that happened, I text the press officer, Dan, as soon as it happened, because I watched it and I was like, that doesn't look good, does it?
Yeah.
And I think the club probably made a bit of a mistake putting it out.
Putting that out because, there, yeah.
But I think they thought, oh, look, they've all stopped and signed
didn't
the
even
shirt.
Look at her.
Aren't they doing a great thing? And then everyone noticed the eye contact and she's looking like this. So I was like, I asked the club and I said, what was that? And he went, look, it was a part of a big day. Like, she met them, she walked out in the tunnel with them onto the pitch. they're called junior gunners and they have an amazing experience. Yeah. So that's one isolated incident. And also they're in game mode. So yeah, maybe they, you know, they're not really focused. They're just going straight in pre-match. So anyway, I went on and I said it, but I was like, let's be honest. There's a little girl standing in front of you, like little bit of eye contact, because I looked at her and I was the same as you, Sam. I was like, I've definitely been that kid before when you're like,
you're doe-eyed
and you're literally like, oh, for some eye contact, God, or something, yeah, some acknowledgement. So I'm allowed to feel that, but the amount of stick I got from Arsenal fans, one of them said, you're not a real Arsenal supporter.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah, it's so annoying.
And obviously it's kids, isn't it? Like 12-year-old kids and stuff. But I did, I was annoyed by it. I was like, you have to be able to call things out. But I balanced it and I said, like, but they don't watch the rest of the clip. I said, look, anyway, contact the club, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I find stuff like that frustrating because you can't really win a lot of times.
Social media is an absolute arsehole, really, for a number of fucking reasons. But you're in probably one of the most fickle industries in terms of what fans are like. Do you know what I mean? One week, everyone, it's one of them things, isn't it, with sports where everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah. Twitter as well.
Yeah,
is
Twitter.
But what you do, Twitter's the because sport Twitter, football Twitter is a tough place to be at the best of times, right?
You have to be quite thick-skinned.
You must do, right? Has that been hard to navigate at all? God, this is a proper interview, isn't it?
I know.
This is meant to be jokes.
You haven't even used your cue cards.
That's because there's fuck all on them. it's just because it makes us look more professional.
Yeah. No, it does.
Sam's never actually looked at his.
What stuff does it say?
Well, it's just really got...
in a minute, but what does it say?
You've spoken a lot about trolling recently. Can we touch on that? Who are your icons? And you've got that. We'll get to that.
Okay. Yeah.
Just in case you were really fucking boring, basically. We just need things to fall back on in case you were proper shit.
You know, you said earlier on about like what makes a sports broadcaster like a popular one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly think if you can understand like the culture of football and social media and how the two go together, football Twitter, if you really understand that, and sometimes I don't, but if you can kind of navigate that, and the way that I did it from like years and years ago when I first started getting any kind of notoriety was to give as good as I get. And some broadcasters,
and you
don't
do
like
that by the way.
Yeah, some broadcasters, no one's ever said to me, take that down. So some people will, like I've replied a couple of times about people's manhood and things like that, but it's only ever a retaliation. And I never understand when people go, oh, you can't say that. I'm like, what, am I a sitting duck? I'm supposed to, just because I'm a broadcaster, you're allowed to say anything you want about me. And as soon as I reply, and I will win, like I'm very stubborn about things like that. And that's like a negative for me, I think. I will fucking fight to the death, right? And I will win. And then they're like, oh, you can't say that because you're... And I'm like, oh, fuck off.
You started it.
You started it.
How annoying is it, man?
It's so frustrating.
See, Pete's really good at that. So I'll get in, like, sometimes getting a couple of Twitter spats.
No. Hold on, there's a difference. I don't lose arguments, ever.
He chins them. That's
what he does. No.
He bottles them.
But I don't see the point when it comes to social media. I listen, I'm quite happy, and it happens quite a lot of people fucking slagging me off and whatever, but it doesn't bother me what fucking, you know, Danny in Doncaster thinks, because, you know, fuck off, you knobhead.
In his mum's basement.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? He's sitting there wanking into a pot noodle. I don't really give a monkey's,
it's
mate.
When you reply, it's even better.
Well, he's wanking into a pot noodle.
Well, that's what you're jumping.
Laura Wood sat there and you said wanking into a pot noodle.
Why? She's had a pot noodle before.
I've never wanked into one, just to clarify.
I didn't. You didn't need to answer that, but thank you for clarifying.
It would be hard for me.
Let's not get into that conversation, shall we?
You're about to go into logistics.
I was literally. But yeah, it doesn't bother me. It bothers me more if someone says something to my face, but no one ever does. No one really says anything to your face. Okay. When they do it over Instagram and fucking Twitter and all that, it really doesn't bother me because I just think, fuck off. It really riles you.
Yeah.
And then what Sam does is then he calls me and goes, I'm going to have to say tank. Oh, why?
Yeah.
I like
why?
And then what happens is I fuck it as well. And then I fuck it. And then I call Pete again because, and go, I fucked it. What do I do?
Because if you're going to do that, and I've always been, listen, you can't argue with an idiot. If you're going to do it, you've got to go in.
You've
got to go in and you've got to persevere and you've got
to... Kill.
Yeah, exactly. Right? 100%. Kill
I shoot
shot.
To wound.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
If there's a typo, you're fucked. You delete it, you block them, you come off Twitter for 5 days.
Sam,
I love that.
You go half-assed because you do it emotionally, right? You can't do it emotionally. Yeah. You need to think logically, tactically and think, I'm going to fuck you up. That's what you got to do. You're a bit emotional about it.
I did that back in the day. I actually, my mum is really good at proofreading. proofreading. So she used to proofread all of my work when I was a kid.
Please tell me your mum proofreads your tweets.
I sent her a tweet. This was like,
fuck off, you slimy bitch.
Have I spelled slimy right, mum?
Where someone said something along the lines of, get back in the kitchen. It's the most boring.
Oh, that's a shit
boring
one.
Yeah. And I was like, I fucking will get back in the kitchen that I own, in the house that I bought, yeah, from the job where I earn money. And anyway, I wrote this whole thing and I sent it to my mum. I was like, can you just proofread that for me? And there was a typo in it.
You need a semicolon in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, that needs a comma.
So in terms of what you do now then, and where you've been, you started as a runner, Sky Sports.
Mm. Oh, you have done your homework.
We've done proper research.
Wow.
Have we?
Well, no, I didn't need to because I'm at, like, I know a lot about you anyway. Yeah.
And then obviously it's the darts, talk sport, and now you do a range of different sports. You're a big boxing fan as well.
Yeah.
We've got to bring it up.
You know what we're going to say.
I know you're going to say.
Seven foot tall, beautiful human being.
Fucking what a beautiful man. He definitely wanted a bit of Woodsy.
Oh, God. I'm so glad that you've brought this up because I haven't actually had the space to, like, explain what happened.
Well, yeah, this is why we thought we'd give you an opportunity.
I tried to do it on TalkSport, but like, Ali wouldn't let me get in a word in edgeways, and Sam was in there as well, so it was, like, really...
The table's yours.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you know what? And you won't lose the table either.
Thank you.
Potentially.
I hope not. So just to, like, just to explain what happened... My job for DAZN ends when the show ends, right? So we've done it. We're all finished. We've got, you know, Frank Smith.
Like, yeah.
I've worked with those guys since 2009, since we were babies. So we're all great friends. So we go in, like, there's like a secret room in the O2. It looks like a bookshelf, but then you push the door.
That's cool. Speakeasy vibes.
And there's a secret room, but it's not very big. It's like, I would say, the width of these sofas, right? And the length of this. So that's it.
It's a dungeon.
So what would you do in there? But like, we go in there, we have a drink, not the little secret room. We go into like the normal room and have a drink. And that's where all the performers, like Olly Murs, I've been in there before to meet him after show. He's lovely, by the way.
Yeah, he's great.
I know Olly, yeah.
So wonderful. Yeah. So we were in there having some drinks and champagne. And after I finish a show, you guys must be a little bit like this. After you do something, like, you know, you're really buzzy and you're hyper.
I don't often get buzzy.
Of course not. No, because you're kind of like mellow constantly, aren't you?
Yeah, I definitely
mono.
Get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get it, right? So you're really hyper.
I sometimes go for a walk afterwards if I've done something that I love.
Yeah, to spell energy. So I'm also a lightweight. So like, we've had a couple of glasses of champagne. It's gone straight to my head. I've taken my shoes off. They hurt. I'm leaving. It's 2 a.m. in the morning, right? And Freddie, who is... Anthony Joshua's like commercial officer, but also like, he's just been there since the beginning. Freddie's like in there and I'm like, I'm going to pop my head in and say hi and bye. So he's like, come in now. So I go in, I literally knock on the door, pop my head in. I think it's going to be really quiet in there. There's like 30 people in there. I go, well done. Well done. Good fight. Well done. Yeah. And the first thing he says is, oh, he went, oh, Ruben. And I went, oh, Lofty.
No, Laura.
That was my second question after the Anthony Joshua one.
Well, it's like such a complicated... Basically, on TalkSport the week before, on that Monday, one of the headlines, because anyone at TalkSport, anything to do with anything like that, we're like, great opportunity to talk about sex, basically. So it was like someone had asked Anthony Joshua who his dream date is, and he said Beyonce. So we were like, brilliant, let's do our dream dates and let's all try and get a date off the back of it, right? So I was like, Leo Suter is this actor. Oh my God, he's amazing. I was like, brilliant, I'm going to say him. Ali said Claudia Schiffer or someone like that, some sort of model. Anyway, so then like that then became a thing. Then the next thing after that show, I had to do a pre-recorded interview with Ruben Loftus-Cheek. So at the end of it, we're like, let's just carry on. Who's your dream date? Ruben goes, Laura Woods. And I was like, good God. Like, okay.
He's a beautiful man.
Ruben is probably the best looking player in the Premier League.
He's a very good looking lad.
I would say. So I was like, don't mind that at all. That can stay in. Excellent.
It'll keep that.
Yeah, we'll keep that and we'll frame it, right? Yeah. That's a quote for my wall. So anyway, so I was having a great week. So then like I walk into, and you know what happens? All the headlines get made out of it, which is really funny. And excellent to have an association with someone who looks like he's carved by Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I go into the room, blah, 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 I say hi. And he goes, oh, Ruben. And I went, oh, I said, yeah, that actually came from you saying Beyonce's your dream date. And he went, no, you're my dream date. And I was like, is anyone filming this? I was like, has anyone else heard this just happen? I've got no shoes on because they hurt.
Nice feet then.
Thanks.
Well, no, I'm just wondering.
That was the creepiest fucking thing.
I'm saying it's a question. Did you have nice feet then?
Nice obviously, feet then.
Well, it's quite a big thing, isn't it?
Oh, Mark, you're doing a me.
I don't know if it was a question or a statement.
It's a question. Nice feet then. You must have nice feet.
And then I looked at your feet.
We can't see her feet now, can we? She hasn't taken her shoes off now.
I'll take mine off if you want me to.
Fuck no, because your feet are like fucking hobbits.
Okay. Every time I have no shoes on in a photo, the amount of people that say I've got boat feet.
What are they?
They're a size 7, which is a UK average for a woman, by the way.
Is it?
But how big are your fucking boats? And I'm like, they're not that big. Like, my slabs.
Yeah, you could water ski without skis. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I could navigate that.
Cut the fucking canoes. Yeah. Lovely.
Anyway.
What I meant by that, if someone says you're a dream date whilst your feet are out, because that's quite a big thing. People have got a big thing about
it.
I don't like feet.
Yeah, but I don't suppose someone looks straight at your feet when you walk in the room.
If you haven't got any shoes on, I imagine they probably do. Like, why the fuck has she got no shoes on?
Yeah, maybe you did. I don't know. Anyway, so... Coogan, who's from IFL TV, his YouTube channel, and they're really good for boxing. He's about to do an interview with Anthony Joshua, and we're just chatting, and he's like, oh, for God's sake, you might as well do it yourself. And I was like, all right, cool. So at the time, I'm thinking it's just a joke. Like, we're just sitting down. So I give him a cuddle, and I sit next to him, which is why we're so close. And also we've got one mic and camera shot and all that sort of stuff. And there's like enough space, and everyone's going, where were your shoes, and why are you sat so close? Anyway, we start doing the interview and it's just silly. And we're both, obviously, he's high from a fight. I'm a couple of glasses of champagne down. And it was just meant to be a silly interview.
And then you just kissed.
And then
and it was
one thing led to another.
Yeah, there you go.
And now we're engaged. No. So anyway, it then became quite an interesting interview because he just said what he felt and it was nice.
Well, it's quite relaxed, isn't it? Because normally when you do interview, I mean, I'm saying this like I do them, but I imagine when you normally do interviews and all that, it's very much, people are very press orientated. They're very media savvy in terms of what they say. And actually, you don't really get to see what people are like. Because Anthony Joshua, we've met him. It's a nice guy, but it's generally quite boring.
Well, I might have to take this one, actually.
In interviews and things like that, but actually...
I have interviewed him.
You have interviewed
him? Yeah, and he's punched me.
No.
Yeah, he gave me an uppercut.
Well, that explains that.
No.
Oh, sorry.
With the fucking hands, mate. I fell over. No. Yeah, he's... No. He's got some hit. And he said he was giving me 70% power, and I believe him. Like, he gave me a proper uppercut on the thing. And I went over like a turtle on your back.
It was 20%.
Yeah, I was just about to say, there's no way you've got 70%.
He hit me, and I'm literally like that, on my back like that. And he's like...
What did he hit you with?
I've gone down like that.
Fucking hell, son.
Mate, and I'm literally... And I'm looking up at the ceiling, and I'm like, I don't know what just hit. It's like a train going through you. Absolutely nuts. he's built. I've never seen anyone so built before like that in my entire life. Nuts.
So what I meant by before you started talking about the night of passion with Anthony Joshua is that when you win it, because people are so media savvy, it's normally the same sort of questions, same sort of crap. And actually, when you see him on, when he does League of Their Own or them other sort of things, he's quite a funny guy. Like, he's got quite a bit of like banter about him, but you never really see that side. So actually, it's probably quite a nice time to interview someone when they're relaxed. And, do you know what I mean? No shoes. Maybe you should try that when you interview people.
Fuck off. No.
Just take your shoes off. Just whack them up.
Going to be honest with you, I'm quite a high class interviewer. Viewer now,
fucking not based on this, you know.
Fucking hell,
say
professional.
I listen to your podcast.
Oh, he didn't mean that. He's got a proper job.
Do you know what? Actually, on the topic of bowing and curtsying, I went to Cheltenham. Cheltenham's like one of my other than the darts, the best place on earth.
Yeah. Do you go ladies' day or Gold Cup?
I actually go Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because I've always got it's usually FA Cup or something the weekend. Hmm. So anyway, I went this year, and my boss at ITV took me up to the box. He's like, would you like to? I was like, absolutely.
Cool.
Like, I'm on my way.
I saw this. Did you have this on your Instagram? Did you go with Zandy there?
Who?
And Carl Walker. Did you go to the races with him?
No, I didn't.
What was that you went to?
I don't know.
Yeah, nice research, Pete. Fucking hell, mate.
I saw it on your Instagram.
So, you always like my pictures of any.
Wait, I know where she's going with it.
My Frenchie.
Because I've got two.
I know. Yeah. The rescues.
Yeah, both rescues.
I like the one with one eye.
Peggy. Yeah, Pirate Peggy.
Pirate Peg.
Yeah, I've got Eric and Peggy.
Very cute.
Thank you, darling.
Anyway,
well, I've got two cats.
No one cares.
I've got two cats. No, but they're ragdolls.
You're a cat person.
No, I was always a dog person, but then my missus basically converted. She's a massive cat person. She converted me to cats, you see.
Ragdoll's like the closest to a dog.
They are, exactly. They're like dog cats.
What's its name?
Albus Dumblepaw. and just Cedric.
Cedric. Yeah. I like that even. As in another one from Harry Potter.
Yeah. Hey, do you like Harry Potter?
No.
Oh, thank fuck for that.
I thought we were going to really bro out then.
All respect for you then.
I thought we were going to bro out.
It's a bunch of kids on fucking broomsticks. Fuck off.
Me and Pete are going to play Quidditch together.
She doesn't, we don't.
No, yeah, no. Where you have brooms and you waddle.
No, listen. Yeah. When I was a producer at Sky, I worked on a kids show and I went and did a feature on Quidditch.
Shut the front
Genuine
door.
People playing Quidditch.
What's it like?
Field.
It's people sweeping a park.
It was the most concentrated amount of virgins I've ever seen in my life.
And I'm there.
Yeah.
And I'll be there.
And they never broke character. It was so weird. And I was like, come on, let's have a look. Come on, you're playing Quidditch. They were like, no.
Now, how dare you?
This is serious. I was like, how you can't fly? Like, how do you actually...
You waddle.
Do you fake? Is it like WWE? And they were like, no, it's competitive. And we did a whole series on it.
Do you know what would be... Are you quite competitive? Mm. I'm really competitive. And I think... and actually, you are as well.
I like to just be involved.
Imagine going to play and just ended up in a fucking...
That's what I want.
Can you do it? I'll
I
find
really,
you
if you could.
Well, no, hold on, Laura. No, babe. You're not.
You have to.
You're not
oh
going to find
God,
us.
Oh my God, I can see it now.
Big guy.
Excellent.
Hold on, unless you're playing as well. You've obviously wanted to be in this industry for a while. Mm. Yeah?
Basically. Not our one, the sport one.
Yeah, like yeah. No, the entertainment industry, but specifically around sports, yeah. Based on the fact that you started as a runner and then worked to being on camera and, you know, on radio
what
and the rest
journey.
Of it. Sam has also wanted to be part of this industry for a long time. I sort of fell into it and now there's, you know, I can't get a normal job anymore. How do we succeed?
Oh, this is going to sound...
I know it's a really hard question
for a lot of people
because we are so dog shit at everything.
No, it's going to sound really cringe, like genuinely, but like I do think like people, it's like I said at the beginning, people really appreciate authenticity. And I think the funny thing about you two is you kind of bring out each other's like authentic side. Like that.
You do though, you're so right.
I think that works. But I think what you're doing is right, just explore everything. Like if you do go and get hair transplants, for example,
document
like take each other and document the whole thing. Yeah. But people like you. But also your audience will grow with you.
Laura, I've got a question for you. Mm. You do my dream job. Mm. How do I get into sports? Because I went on Match of the Day X recently.
Did you?
And I basically, cause I'm actually a mad Chelsea fan. Like I
but
really,
you've got to be authentic and it won't work.
almost too much, right? And I did this thing on Match of the Day X, right? And they're like, did a story frame and they're like, right, Samson's going to say who would sell and keep on the Chelsea squad. Now, we've had a shit season, right?
So sell all of them.
It was basically like between Mount and Sterling. I was like, that's tough. I'd keep Mount. I'd sell Sterling because he's done nothing.
Right.
And so my picks, by the way, were fucking great. Mm. And I got hammered. What does this posh prick know about fucking football? Yeah. I got battered. And I was like, well, I'm never doing that again.
You could have said everything right and you still got...
I know I said everything right.
But I think that's sports in general with a lot of things. It doesn't matter what you say, whether you're right or wrong, you're going to have someone that's going to counter that argument regardless.
Yeah.
It's the same as most things you do in life, not a lot of people. But that's one of the nice things about sports in general, though, isn't it? Is the fact that there is that debate and there's that opinion. Yeah. That's why I'm not... So I love boxing. Mm. That would be my favourite sport with it, yeah. But I cannot discuss it with people and I cannot go and watch things with people because I have to win arguments and I get too frustrated with the fact, I just think, shut the fuck up, you don't know what you're talking about. And that's the same reason why I couldn't do what you do with fucking football, regardless of whether you know every fucking thing.
I know everything.
About a team or whatever it may be about a sport, you're going to have some fucking two bob numpty, I used to be with the Chelsea Academy, but until I did my ACL, fuck off, dickhead. But he's going to disagree with what you're saying anyway, just to be a fucking knob.
Yeah.
And I can't handle that because I'd end up inside.
Do you like Mark Goldbridge?
Yeah, I really do.
I fucking love him.
Yeah.
He rubs people out all the wrong way every time.
But he's so good.
But you know what I love about him, right? And so this is a bit different, but he's a fan, right?
Is this the guy you were telling me about?
Yeah, I love him, yeah.
Yeah, United.
He dropped his job and then...
Yeah, he was in the fraud team at the police or something.
Was
right? Yeah, and he pursued something he loved, right? And he now has the biggest fan account on YouTube to do with Man United. And people slag him off for it. And it's like, I think do you think we're running out of... You're not even allowed to be a fan anymore. Yeah. It's like you have to have played the game.
But if you think about it, and similarly probably with what you do on Talk Sport.
I want to hear Laura's thoughts on that. But.
Having an opinion. But what I'm saying is that having an opinion is actually what people like. So regardless whether people disagreeing with him or disagreeing with you, that's what gets people talking. And actually in that industry, that's exactly what you want, is you want people to be talking, to be interested.
Yeah, he's right, actually. That's what TalkSport is based on.
Yeah.
You don't want to, like, the worst thing you can do on TalkSport is not have an opinion.
Sitting on the fence.
Because we won't use you again.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're like, no, the only person that's allowed to sit on the fence is Ali. And even that, sometimes I'm like, come on, Ali, like get off the fence. He's the only one that we will allow. That's why Jamie's so great and Gabby's so great.
Jamie's unreal.
It doesn't matter. Like they're O'Hara. Giving you, yeah.
I texted Jamie.
I know Jamie really well.
Mate, I texted him when I wanted to rant about Chelsea because he was live and I was listening in my kitchen as I do. And I went, mate, get me in. And he was like, all right, call this number. And then I missed his message back.
No.
And I missed my opportunity.
I had to go on the other night. You know, when people say like, when you're chatting to people and they're like, so what music do you like? And I'm like, I just listen to TalkSport all day. It's so sad.
I'm doing it now.
It's so ridiculous, isn't it?
I'm 30 and still going strong, mate. I fucking love it. But I really think there's you're losing the place of the fan at the moment. And I think everyone thinks they're a fucking professional and it's so annoying.
Yeah. But Mark Goldberg, to go back to Mark, there is the most amazing clip. I think it's Burnley he's talking about, and he's doing like a live watch along, and he's basically slagging Burnley, saying, oh, Burnley aren't offering anything. And then they score and the timing of it is absolutely perfect. And he's like, anyone but bloody Burnley. And it's sometimes when I'm just, you know, when you get yourself caught in a rabbit hole in YouTube, sometimes I'll just go and search.
So do I.
It.
Have you seen the one where he goes, oh no, oh no?
did you watch the 7-0?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, mate, the City one.
But the thing is about him as well is he actually, I do respect all of his views.
So do I.
I'm the same as you. You don't have to be an expert. Like, TalkSport is genuinely, we're like, our tagline is it's about the fans and all that sort of stuff. We have callers coming on, right? So I want to hear their opinion. So why wouldn't I want to hear a YouTuber's opinion? There's such a kind of, what's the word? A stigma. There's such a stigma against YouTubers.
Yeah, like, I hate it.
Because, oh, they're only a YouTuber. I'm like, oh, sorry, like just because they got out of bed and they figured out a way to make their own revenue.
Yeah.
So that if, for example, they then make it onto telly and then they're not popular next week, that's all right. I'll just fall back onto my own channel where I created my own audience. Like, that's genuine. That's better than anyone else can do. Whether he's right or wrong, I just think what he's done is...
He's a fan.
Excellent. Yeah, we have him on our show in the morning.
Oh, yeah, you do, don't you?
Like, once a week or something like that, we'll have him on. And I look forward to that section.
Do you know what I look forward to? I'm really, really sorry. It's to do with you. You know, you said your celebrity crush.
Yeah.
You know, it's the guy from Vikings. I love Vikings.
No idea.
He looks
Who
like,
is it?
You'd looks fit
like,
in.
Looks like you.
Yeah.
Oh, we well, I very much doubt he looks like
he
me.
He looks.
Yeah, I don't look
What's
like
his name
a Viking,
again?
Do I?
Leo.
The fuck's sake. Oh. The smallest Viking Leo in the world.
Suter.
Well, I look like the Viking fucking toy figurine. Fucking Vikings. Fuck me. You know
Imagine,
what I mean?
Imagine, like, when you book a stripper, I did, for like a Hindu, not personal. The picture on the website, you're like, wow, okay. And they did do this once, and the guy that turned up was like, it's like he had been
Danny DeVito.
Squashed. And then,
I've stripped.
And he had a little ring around his penis, and we were like,
wow,
and
a little realized, ring. A little ring.
It was for my friend's hen do. And we were like, what is that? And then we Googled it, and apparently it's to keep the blood in your penis, which makes it look bigger.
Do you?
Let me tell you a little story about this. So at least he had a proper ring for it. So,
Peter's right. Pete really knows his stuff.
Piece of threat.
No. I'm going to tell you why. Right. So I used to date a girl, and we went on a double date. Actually, I first met Jamie O'Hara on a double date.
Oh my God. What?
When he was with his ex, I was dating one of her friends.
Liz.
When he was with Liz.
Beautiful.
Yeah, lovely. And I was dating one of her friends, and we went on a double date, and that's where I first met him, in Chigwell, weirdly enough, years ago.
You went to Sheesh, didn't you?
No, it wasn't at Sheesh. It was at La Sala, when they had La Sala there, I think.
What's La Sala? Is that a club?
La Sala, they've got one in Marbella that David Bentley. Whatever, it was my table, but...
such a wanker.
No, we went there for dinner. It was for dinner. But the cock ring thing, and this is completely off topic, but it's quite funny. So I also used to date this other girl whose friend was dating one of the Dream Boys. Oh. So we went to a Dream Boys show in Birmingham, right? So I went with the girl that I was seeing and her friend who was obviously watching her fella. She cried the whole way through. It was the first time she'd seen him and didn't like it because he had birds up on stage. But anyway, I got on quite well with him. Really nice guy. And he says to me, I'll just come and have a beer backstage. So I go backstage with all the fucking lads there where they're swinging cocks fucking flying about. Then put the ring round because it keeps the blood.
It's like when you get bitten by a snake.
Yeah. And, you know, like when you sleep in a ring on your finger and you wake up and your finger's all swollen.
Bit blue.
You're like, I'm never going to get it off.
Yeah. Would you ever, like, who do you date? I'm not asking who you're dating, but like, who do you date? Because you're obviously in the public eye now. You're like very big in the public eye. Like, do you worry about that? Do you ever sit there and go, oh God, like, does it have to be someone from what I do, or do I try and keep them away from the press, quiet and all that shit?
It's really strange because I wouldn't consider myself, like, I would say you guys are more high profile. So what you do and how, like, the newspapers would want to be attracted to the news story is probably more your kind of...
I doubt that. I doubt that very highly.
But I kind of, like, there's some really weird people on social media, right? So I try and keep a lot of my private life very private, and especially like men, I try and keep that very private and away from, like, unless I'm going to marry the guy, then maybe
off social media, no hard launch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And like, can you imagine that? You're like, oh, here's my new boyfriend. And the next week you break up. But
well, we've all been there. We have. That's literally our life.
And I think when you get burnt with stuff like that, because I'm exactly the same now, like, I've been linked with so many different things over the years. Yeah. And you had a high profile relationship previously, didn't you? So, so from that,
it wasn't at the time.
No, it wasn't. But then it became because of what you ended up doing. Like, do you know what I mean? And it became one of those things. And then you have to go through that. Then now I don't put anything anywhere about that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That must suck, just like not like keeping things in the shadows.
No, it's the best things in life are the things that no one knows about.
That's really true. Oh my God, that
was deep. That was deep, wasn't it? Write a poem, Pete. Shit.
Private life's a happy life, man.
Last question for you from me. I don't know why I put my hand up as well, but like,
that's honestly.
Would you ever do anything like The Jungle or Strictly or anything like that?
I know, I would never do Strictly because I honestly...
Too left feet?
Yeah. And I...
Well, too big left feet.
Oh, God.
Big slap.
She's never coming back.
Size 7, it's UK average. Anyway, so yeah, I only dance when I'm really drunk and then I'm amazing.
What kind of dancing are we talking about? Pete has a dad dance.
Oh, do you?
I can't dance and I know I can't dance. Mm. And Sam continually tries to make me dance, but
I'm
quite happy standing at the bar. The way me and Sam do it is he does all the professional stuff and he's very good at all of that, and he does, you know, I interview Brad Pitt and all that. I would have got Brad Pitt in fucking String Feathers and ended up, you know what I mean, getting pissed with him. But I would have done a terrible interview.
But then you've had a great time.
Turns into a good interview. Here, well, exactly. Pete actually has a pair of slippers, a custom pair of Stringfellas slippers.
I know. I listened to podcasts with you, with your, comb over on your toe.
So I came for your feet, so you're coming for mine. I see how it goes. All right.
Brilliant.
I'm biding my time, by the way.
Oh, I like what you're doing there.
And you getting rejected for an interview with a celebrity. Who was it again? The A-list actor that was like...
Miles Teller. We were expecting you to reject us.
Really?
Yeah, I threw it out in the dark. I literally went, I'm going to fucking DM Laura Woods.
No. Well, that's so funny, isn't it? Because I genuinely would have thought that I was not high profile enough for your podcast.
And I think you're setting yourself a disservice there based on the fact that genuinely, and I said it at the start of this, you're probably the most loved sports broadcaster in the UK.
By a long way.
By a long way. And for a number of reasons, because you know what you're talking about, you have fun with it, personality-wise, you're the bollocks, and a lot of geezers fancier. So there's a number of fucking reasons, do you know what I mean? Like, but evidently you're really good at your job, and that's why we wanted you on, because you're someone at the top of the game.
So massive kudos. Thank you for coming on. I'm a huge fan. And now, I mean, Pete loves your feet. And there you go, really.
I love your feet. I'm just a huge fan of you, full stop.
Oh, you know, thank you.
I'm not going to talk to you.
Third advance.
And I thought he goes, he under
advance. Do you know what it is? It's called perseverance. It always works. Ask Carol. So I've been on her since the countdown days.
Well, what we should do is we should do a North London derby. You can come along just for fun.
Because, I'd love to. Absolutely. We appreciate you. You as a person.
Yeah, genuinely, thank you for coming on. We were both very excited about you being here. And
I was blinking at you.
I know, I noticed. I thought it was Morse code.
Yeah.
So he's trying to tell
Help
me something.
Help
yeah, like,
me.
I need to get out of here. I'm here under duress.
No, you've been a great guest, and we understand why everyone loves you in the country, effectively.
Laura Woods, everyone. Thank you so much.
The feeling's very mutual, boys.
That was Laura fucking Woods. W dog.
W dog.
I was going to call her Woody, but I thought that sounded a bit weird.
What, and you thought W dog would be a better way to describe her?
I don't know.
All right, well, let's just go with Laura.
Okay, fine. But how good was that?
She's great, yeah.
Also, question, I feel like I didn't talk over it just then. I feel like I really tried.
No, I think you did a lot better, actually.
Like, come on!
No, you did do a lot better. That was actually very good. Well done.
Thank you. Yes,
I'm proud of you.
I think it's one of our best shows you've ever done.
I think mainly because she was so good.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Very, very funny. And, yeah, she jokes, actually.
We're going for a drink with her.
You need to stop doing that, though.
What?
Every guest we've ever had on the podcast, you ask them out.
Even not like that. Make fucking hell. Put some context on that bitch, mate. I didn't ask her out.
Let's leave it there.
No, let's not leave it there.
No, you asked to like spend time with them and hang out with them and fucking start. And it's a bit weird because you do it whilst we're recording the podcast, so they have to say yes.
Yeah, that's the whole point. And then trap them.
Yeah, but how many of those people have we actually done it with?
Well, not any. Well, actually, let's talk about it because we slid into Laura's DMs.
We didn't.
Yeah, the beauty of me and Pete is we come as one. So it's like we're flirting as one person, without the flirting, obviously, but it's like to hang out. And so I actually...
You did it without even telling me.
Don't pretend you don't know, because I called Pete after this. I went, mate, thank you so much for coming on the pod today. You were amazing. The whole team had such a great time, as did we. Let's get a game of darts in at some point with Pete. She then went, it was so much fun. I really loved it. What a lovely group you are there. You two are hilarious. Can we? I'm buzzing for it. First stop darts, next stop Quidditch. She went, I'm going to send you some dates. And then I went, if I know Pete, he's going to try and rope us into drinks at Amazonico, his second favourite place after Strings. A little bit of a gag in there, a little bit of a joke. And then she went, I actually love Amazonico, but do they have slippers for him on entry? Okay, dates incoming. Now, after that, no dates did come in. And then I called Pete and went, what, have I done something wrong? Have I fucked up? And then I was going to double down. And then Pete told me not to double down.
No, we don't double down.
No.
We don't double down. Listen, if she doesn't want to play darts with us, she doesn't want to play darts with us. It's really simple.
Yeah, but we could just be like, give us the dates.
But you've already asked for the dates and she said they're incoming. So if you ask again, you sound like a parrot. You're just repeating yourself. If she wants to, she will tell us.
Or do we need to be more assertive with it?
I think what we need to do is leave it at that.
I think we go in again. Just one more. One more. Sorry, I don't know if you got this one.
This is why you shouldn't be in charge of the speaking. Do you know what I mean? This is that you shouldn't take control of organising or doing anything in a social setting. I think I should probably do those bits. Because you are fucking weird.
Why don't you double down then? Why don't you go, hey, spoke to Sam, he said dates were incoming. Can you let us know because we're quite busy?
You are aware that we are on a podcast.
Yeah.
People can hear this discussion.
So, what's wrong with that?
It's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard. We are two 30-plus men trying to play darts with Laura Woods.
How fun would that be?
It sounds mental. We sound absolutely fucking mental. Laura, if you want to play darts with us. If you don't, it's okay.
Yeah, no funny business.
Why did it... But now you've made it sound like there was potentially a connotation of funny
business. No, I just give it... Sometimes it's you, I don't know.
What do you mean it's me?
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm the really approachable person. Like, she knows she'll play darts with me. What are you pointing at?
Well, evidently not, because she hasn't replied to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. That was Laura Woods. What an episode it's been. I love you, listeners.
Ta-da.
Insanity Group.